Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is the podcast for you. Welcome back. I'm Lee Brown, and you are listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, where you have come to tune in to find out things you did not know from people you've never met and find new perspectives. And frankly, I know it's because y'all are kind of like voyeurs, and this is the side of real estate that is far more interesting than HGTV. And so today, I'm super excited to bring y'all a guest from another continent. See, now you are very advanced listeners. You've had a lot of amazing U.S. people, a few Canucks. Let's toss in an Australian into the mix. Actually, I think Rachel beat you to the punch. She might have been my first Australian guest because I don't know that I've interviewed Peter Brewer yet because he probably would talk for 3 hours. So I've actually got a very accomplished author and coach and speaker with me, Rick Rushton. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much, Lee, and I'm much nicer than Peter Brewer is, and more humble as well, clearly. Only joking. Peter's a great guy. Thanks for the opportunity.
So tell my listeners a little bit about what you do in and around real estate, who you are. Give them the nickel tour of Rick's life.
Well, very quickly, I entered real estate way back when in late 1989, which was a marketplace that was really quite interesting. Interest rates in Australia at the time, Lee, were 17.75%. The lucky sellers were on a 3.75% ceiling that the government had set. The marketplace had come back about 20%. So if you bought a home in 1988 for $100,000, it was now worth $80,000 in my marketplace. That was the best market I'd ever seen. I came in with lots of energy and just a real desire to help people. And I sold lots of my first 6 to 12 months. I sold plenty. I sold heaps. I sold my car. I sold some furniture. I absolutely sucked at it. And so luckily I had a real estate broker owner principal who said these powerful words to me. I don't think your current results are a true reflection of your potential and your skill set. So I want to help you with an educational plan, not a motivational plan, he said, because motivation's a bit like a warm bath. Eventually it goes cold. I want to show you how to turn on the hot tap to give you more opportunities to connect with people because, you know, people like you, people engage with you. They just don't think you've got the skill set to help them make their next move. So I want to help you with that. And so that started me on this journey in 1990 into personal development. And it's one I'll continue to do till I get the tap on the shoulder from the big man above, and I will continue to seek new ideas and find the next best idea that's going to help, you know, myself selfishly, but my community more importantly. And you know, I'm just on that search. So I went into real estate with great intent, but not great skill set. So luckily, I was upskilled pretty quickly. My results started to sort of turn. By 1993, I was in a leadership position. By 1998, I bought the company. We sold that company in 2016, Lee, after going through every sector. I've got to tell you, any broker owner, any salesperson, any rental manager, anyone listening to this who's been at whatever stage you're at in your career, trust me, I'm going to say arrogantly, I've been there. Like, I know what it's like to have a lot more week left at the end of the money coming in. It's a challenging business. But if you find the love of a good woman and you wake up with gratitude and what you're thankful for, F-O-R-U, thinking about those particular things, that's all I've done for my 30-year real estate journey. And it's led me to where I am today. And I get the great fortune of, you know, hanging out with some really cool people, speaking with some really nice people, and just helping people make better decisions, because it's not the conditions, but our decisions that dictates what this whole thing called, I don't even like to give it a title anymore. It's just and I refuse to play in this new space of saying this is the new norm as we go forward. Heck, I don't want to be a part of that. And I refuse to participate in anything like that. So, you know, I just try and help people make better decisions. Don't let the conditions dictate what's happening in their lives. Just make better decisions and, you know, have a life of abundance, because that's what I think we're all really truly here to do. And it's no mistake that we've connected. It's no mistake that we, you know, enjoy each other's company because we're like-minded. And so, you know, that's an easy thing to do. So that's kind of my story pretty quickly. And today I'm, you know, doing a lot more things on Zoom. I'm busier than I've kind of ever been, in between airport lounges and conference stages and workshop rooms and board meetings. I'm really just on Zoom, you know, for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour, hour and a half potentially. And my whole day, just I worked every day in April, except for Saturday and Sundays, throughout April, even Good Friday here in Australia, because I did a session for a network marketing crew up over in your country, which is your Thursday. So I'm using Zoom to stay connected with people. And as you can see, I'm very articulate with giving short, succinct answers. Not really. So ask me something else.
It's okay. I mean, I'm obviously the same way. We go down the rabbit hole, but it is what it is. So you pointed out something that's interesting about real estate that the public doesn't know, and I probably should have told you before you came on the show, that about 70% of my listening audience is now not real estate people. They are people who are very interested in how real estate works. And you made a really good observation there that a lot of people get into this business and they're good with people, but they don't have the foggiest idea what they're doing. And if you don't have that mentor or broker, you will actually be broker than when you came in. And that's why so many people give up, because real estate's actually hard. And that's not even taking into account all the liability that we carry and all the surprises that we run into, which is the whole premise of the show, the surprises we run into. And so when you became a realtor in 1989-90 and got actually going in 93, all the way through the different iterations of your life, you had the opportunity to see not just a lot of buyers and sellers, but also other agents. And you see the reaction of the public when you say, oh, I sell real estate, and you find out if they're going to actually talk to you or run across the room, which we've seen that happen. So what would you say was your biggest surprise in your real estate career that could qualify as crazy shit? Now, crazy shit, as we know from our previous episodes, could be something emotionally heartrending that made you cry. It could be the thing that made you go, what? And it could be anything in between. So I'd love to hear what story you have to tell. Let's pretend we have a cocktail and tell me what you're going to tell me when I ask you the crazy shit.
Well, the craziest one was I was a long way down the track of selling a home for somebody who I thought was the owner and did all the research, found out they were not the owner. And that was interesting without getting
hang
too
on,
deep.
Hang on. What year was that, Rick? Because it's obviously pre-internet.
Yeah, it was. It was 1992.
There you
and,
go.
And it was a case of, and like so many red flags, but I'm a trusting person, so I take people at face value. So, I didn't grow up with a suspicious bone in my body, I don't think. If someone I met and they were nice, I'm thinking, well, they're nice. And I remember saying to my broker owner at the time, who was the same man who gave me the advice about, I don't think your results are matching your potential. Yeah, when I said to him, I said, but she sounded so sincere. He said, well, she can be sincerely wrong. You can be sincerely wrong. too. He said, it's not a test of sincerity. It's a test of authenticity. So you need to get authentically in there. So that was an interesting one, selling a home three quarters of the way down. When I knew something was wrong, the first red flag for me, by the way, Lee, these were one of probably many red flags I wasn't picking up on, was when she wanted the deposit not put into the agent's trust account and not even into a solicitor or a lawyer's trust account, but she wanted to put into a private account. And that sort of was the red flag. So I was three quarters of the way down selling a home very well, I might add, for an owner who was not an owner. She was actually the tenant paying the owner rent, or she was behind on the rent and things of that nature. So that was an interesting one. But, I've had some fun stories like that. I've had some heartbreaking ones too, where, it's you're going into a home that was to be the final dream home for this family, and they've lost, a mother or a father. I think there's some interesting sort of stories we can have, and some of them are funny, some of them are tragic. All of them involve the one thing, which is everyone still wants to move to a better place. And so, the funniest thing for me, I think, in this business is that you just could not write a script on half this stuff. You would never know the majority of this stuff, which is kind of interesting. And, so I went through a home, Lee. My funniest one that I can just share with your audience very quickly, it's very G-rated, very, very clean. And I got the call, I've heard that you're a nice guy. You sold for Chris and Tammy White, and they tell me that you're a really nice guy. And, we want you to come out and give us an idea what our house is worth. And I said, can I ask what's prompted the move? Where are you moving to? And, we might not yet. We're just getting a feel for the market. It's real, very, very surface level stuff, very vague. So I thought, okay, slow week. I'll make the time. Let's go out there and let's have a chat. And, not really selling, they say. And then I go through the tour, and then you get into the walk-in closet and you're seeing sort of, one set of clothes and then a lot of empty coat hangers, right? So I'm thinking, I'm not quite an inspector, but I reckon I got this one sus. This sounds like a marital. And so, and I'm sort of talking to her, and she's very, very much like you, Lee, very effervescent, very energized, very responsive, really stretching every answer out. I'd ask the husband, what do you think? And he'd just grunt. And it was really kind of very cold. Yeah. And I'm thinking, well, we can get this one worked out. This is interesting. And the whole sort of thing. And anyway, I said, guys, can I be really candid with you? I help a lot of people move for a number of reasons. Sometimes it's through upscaling, downscaling. People just fail as husband and wife, don't want to fail as parents, and they want to sort of create a good environment for their children and all sorts of stuff. they look at each other, they go red in the face, they go, oh, you guessed it, you know, this is a split. And I'm thinking, well, I'm not surprised. Clearly, I don't even know how you two got together. I mean, she must have been pregnant and you weren't. Like, this was opposites attracting at the highest levels. What I'm thinking, Lee, right? So anyway, but here's where the story goes a little bit different. So she had realized that she wanted to marry her best friend who happened to also be another woman, which affected, and I'm thinking, is this a real, and I'm looking around for the cameras thinking, someone set me up here. This is just not what you're thinking, right? I just could not get my head around it. And so nowadays it's almost like, you know, you go into a home today and you wonder whether it's a husband or wife, whether it's a same-sex couple, whether it's, you know, someone who doesn't identify with either of those genders. It's almost like, you know, a DNA test will tell me, but, you know, it's almost like, where does this whole thing go? So the funny stories I've had have been ones like that where you just get absolutely like blindsided and think, but this is where your interpersonal skills come in and where you can sort of take that sometimes the best gifts come poorly wrapped. So you just sort of unwrap that thing and say, but still, what is the go here? They still want to move to a better place. It's the one thing that unites every real estate transaction. Everyone's trying to move to a better place. Granted, some of the motivations behind it are negative, you know, the bank's foreclosing or we've lost our job, and that's not anything to make light of. But we've still got to help them move to a better place. So my focus has always been that. So if you go into the marketplace with that headspace, nothing can really shock you from left field. But that was probably the one that made the most impact on me, where, you know, I just grew up thinking, you know, love was love between a man and a woman. I didn't think anything different. I didn't even know anything about it realistically. And I just thought Liberace was like theatrical, right? So I didn't really even understand that sort of stuff. So it was interesting to sort of
Things change over time, and you realize that as realtors, we've probably been at the cutting edge for almost every societal change or upheaval, because when you're in that house, you kind of have to roll with it and not get ruffled if you want the business. And realtors pretty much always want the business. And so you're like, all right, well, that's the situation. All right, then let's go back over here to the real estate side of things and talk about pricing and timing and showings and get you to your next better place, which means realtors probably should run the world, because we can tell a lot of what's going on, but we don't let it distract us all the time. And that's probably just really good life advice in general for anybody listening to the podcast, that if things are not what you expected, all right, roll with it anyway.
Yeah, and just have some empathy, because if you've got empathy, you engage with people. And once you've got that sort of going, you can, you know, a lot of the walls that come down very quickly then. And then they, you know, I don't believe that you need to build rapport. I think you earn it. I don't think you build trust, you earn it.
That's
and
so great.
That comes with just having a conversation. Yeah. So I think that's
right. Your little book that's behind you there.
Yeah, yes.
Is about the rapport gets built by the connections, not by.
Well, I think so. And yeah, the book is an interesting one for me, because I got given an advance to write a book in 1998, Lee, could you believe it? And I'd been recognized as a young achiever, and you know, I got an excellent training.
Oh, what kind of achiever? What?
A young achiever, yeah. And don't worry, I sleep with that thing under my pillow.
It's all about your peer group. I mean, if you're hanging out with 80-year-olds, you are young.
But back in 96, 7, and 8, when that kind of period was where those awards were coming in, I probably was a little bit younger than what I am right now. But all honesty, I just didn't feel I had anything to really write, no message to really give. And if the truth be known, I didn't want to write a book around results. I wanted to write a book around authenticity about who I was. I didn't think I had enough life experiences yet. Granted, in, you know, 98, I'd been married for, you know, 8 years. I'd been with my wife effectively for, you know, 7 before that. So we'd been together a period of time. We had 2 boys at that stage. You know, I was owning a home and I was, you know, running a business, and it seemingly just achieving left, right, and center. But I hadn't felt like I'd really kind of got the depth of what I really want to share. And so in 2016, when we sold out of our real estate business, I took a year off. We took our family across to the States. We were there during your election and, you know, watching, you know, Trump and Clinton go at it. And, you know, we've been to America every year just about with the kids since 2008. So they've been to more American sites than most Americans, to be brutally honest. So we've been to, like, you know, Lincoln's cottage where he wrote the Emancipation Proclamation. We've been to the White House. We've done the tour. We've kind of been to, you know, George Washington's home. And, you know, we've you know, when you walk up a staircase and someone says, grab that handrail, it's the same handrail as George Washington held, you kind of go, wow, this is, because Australia is such a young country, Lee. We don't have that kind of history, that rich history that America has. And so, you know, when we're doing all those particular things, I'm thinking now I've got some real context to write a book. And, you know, I've been a father for a while, I've been a husband for a while, and been a business person for a while. When it's really all said and done, what do I know about life? It's very easy for me and Lee Brown to connect because we're similar people. We like each other. We love each other. How do I connect with someone who's diagonally opposite to that, diametrically opposed to that?
There's a life lesson here. And, you know, don't take it the wrong way, Rick, but think about this. You told yourself in 1998 that you weren't ready to write a book about authenticity, that you weren't prepared for it. And so you were the one that told you no, not knowing that not quite 20 years later, authenticity would be the buzzword. It would be the topic out there. You could have been the father of the authenticity movement. So all I'll point out is that I'm glad you came around to realizing that you do have talents. But friends, if you have something, don't be your own worst enemy. I mean, how many of us have beaten ourselves out of ideas or careers? There's people that think they want to go into real estate and they chicken out because they've heard the bad stories and they don't realize that it takes the relationship Rick mentioned earlier, that one broker who pays attention to you and has a desire to get you there if you're willing to put in the work. But don't always be the one telling yourself no. I mean, I spend a lot of time with my children or teenagers, and they like to make self-deprecating comments, which I think is just natural. We all did that at that age. And I will remind my beautiful daughter that if she says mean things about herself, she's talking about my daughter. And that makes me mad because I love my daughter. I think she's ridiculously talented and creative and beautiful. And just because she can't see it doesn't mean it's not so. So just a reminder, friends, don't be like Rick in that regard. but do chase your talents later. And also, don't judge when you're in a situation you don't expect. I love that you get that tiny little vignette of working with people who through a scenario you didn't expect, but you didn't judge them. You said, all right, and you just kept things moving. And that's a talent and a gift more of us need to have.
Well, I think, you know, it's when it comes to people's lifestyle choices, you know, I can't make their decisions for them, and I'm not going to let them make mine for me either. Yeah, I don't want to. And that's okay. I just kind of go, hey, it wouldn't fit for me, but you wear it, so that's okay. And my job is just to get you into a better place to keep continuing to sort of wear that. You know, for me, the book was probably something where I may have let perfection get in the way of progress. And you know, I am, you know, I demand more of myself than probably anyone else possibly could. And so that's probably inherent in me, I think, in the sense that I'm competitive by nature. I cannot just play a sport for the fun of it. I've got to play to win it. And, you know, it's something that I've been able to, you know, ease back on just a little bit. But the book, I think, was that sort of perfection project, Lee. And then when I realized it was just about progress, then it really didn't matter. You know, like I wrote it pretty easily and pretty quickly from that particular standpoint, because it wasn't, you know, sometimes we are, you're right, our own worst critic. And so it's all about the fact that I keep on saying to myself now, you know, if I'm playing small, how dare I do that when someone saw more in me than I could have seen in myself. So I'm actually dishonoring them if I do that. So now I just go, you know what, I'll play it out there. And will it be perfect? Probably not. But will it be better than anything? No, it will be what it needs to be for the time it needs to be at. And it's not to say no, don't sharpen your skills, because you do as a parent want to be a better communicator in 2020 than you were maybe, you know, a few years back, because the challenges since 2007 with emotional well-being and the mental health with our teenagers growing up, this next generation is, you know, we've got our son who's turning 28 later this week. Our daughter is has turned 15 this year. So the gap between them And our middle son is quite big, and they weren't even born onto the same planet, you know. So I say to our daughter, don't let someone's highly edited social media feed make you feel bad about your unedited life. How dare you let them do that? That's, you know, the most important conversation you're going to have is the ones you have to yourself, by yourself, when no one else is listening. So make sure that you see what we see. We see this young, dynamic, beautiful woman who is, you know, growing up so fast. I still always see her as, you know, our little baby girl. But, you know, with our sons, I just sort of say to them, you know, they're in loving relationships and they've been in them for a long time now. And we say, you know, as much as you love Jess and Jess loves you, Chris, never lose sight of this fact. No one's going to love you as much as your mother and I loved you the minute we laid eyes on you, the moment you were born, and we were with you when you went through all the challenges of teething and when you were sick and when, you know, we've been there all the way through. And Jess's parents would share the same thing. So just remember that there's so many things out there that are going to give you some insights around. So I think today, Lee, the most important conversations we can have is the ones that we're having with our next generation and making sure that we give them strong roots and foundations to go out there and have a crack at the game of life, but never lose sight of the fact that, you know, it's never as good as they as people tell them it is, and it's never as bad as they think it might be either. Somewhere in between there's the reality. And I think our job is to help them tune to that reality to a degree.
It is, and to not give away your power to people who don't deserve to have it, which that's where you have to have that diet of social media, because random people on social media will take all your energy and all your power away if you allow them to. So this goes back to, if you're watching this podcast and you saw Rick's podcast, we've obviously been on each show. So go watch his, or come watch this one, whatever your order is. We talk about the fact that everything that comes out of you is what you put into you. So help your loved ones see that too.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got to tell our people how they can get a copy of one of your books, which they've seen nicely positioned behind you. How else can they reach out to you if they want inspiration or information about you speaking and your coaching and all that fun stuff?
So the easiest way to get me is just myname.com. It's RikRushton. Rick@rickrushton.com is my email address. rickrushton.com is just how you get to my page. It's not Rick with a C, although I think we redirected there. It's not short for Richard. I don't know why. 20 years of therapy never sorted it out for me, so don't even give that any more thought to our listening audience. But on there is access to the book and to my TED Talk and, you know, a whole heap of other things that I've been able to achieve over the journey. There's a lot of free stuff there as well. You know, 100 Mom Ways to Say Your Child is Great. That would be a good thing for our listening audience to download, especially in these challenging times. And so they can get the book on Audible if they want to listen to it, which is just on Amazon. It's called The Power of Connection. And, you know, in terms of that, that's pretty easy to do. But to be really honest, if they just want to reach out and if I can help them in any way, it's not going to cost them anything to do that. That's just at the speed of click, and I'll answer as best I possibly can give it. And the one thing's for certainly, you know, I'm where I am today because I've been able to stand on the shoulders of some amazing people. And you know, you're certainly someone I enjoyed our connection with 5 years ago when we were traveling around Australia and New Zealand at the time, and it was something that, you know, gave me a lot of excitement to just know that, you know, there was somebody else out there who shared the same sort of passions. And you know, we stick in a very, very, very select community, but we want everyone to join it as best we can. That's why these podcasts are important, and this opportunity to connect with your community is something I don't take lightly. It's a real gift, and I thank you for wrapping it so beautifully for me.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the show. And I think you should finish up with your favorite Jim Rohn quote, because you love Jim, and Jim was one of the greatest articulate leaders we've ever had. So tell them that really good quote that I like too.
Well, I think, my favorite one is, work harder on yourself than you do at your job. If you work hard at the job of real estate, or work hard at the job of whatever your profession is, as you're watching or listening to this, you'll earn an income, which is quite fine. But, you know, most importantly, he says, work harder on yourself and you create a lifestyle, and that's real fine. But I think what he's saying more often than not is philosophy, your own personal philosophy, is like the set of a sail. And the storm clouds of this challenge that we're in globally right here, right now at the moment, is blowing on everybody. And the same winds of negativity that are blowing people to despair and getting them onto the couch in yoga pants, as you call it, eating junk food, are the same winds that other people are using to blow them into the harbour of opportunity, of solution, of maybe saying, you know what, this is really what I'm talented at, I'm going to pursue this now. So when we come out the other side of this thing, it's not just getting through, it's getting from it. And it's bringing from it what we've really found about ourselves during these times, because it's during these times where we build resilience, Lee, and it's probably a word that a generation next need to really understand to a degree. My grandfather went and fought in World War I. He took his mother to sign him up for that because he was too young to do it. He was 2 months too young. You know, by the time he'd been on the battlefield and was sent home, he had a toe tag on him on the boat ride home, which was told probably won't survive the journey, suffering from typhoid. Thank God he had resilience, because without resilience, I'm not here and this doesn't happen. So, you know, I think of my grandfather's generation, two world wars, you know, the Spanish flu. There's so many things that kind of, you know, came through his lifetime. You know, so I've lived through, in my real estate career, I've lived through deregulation, Y2K, global financial crisis. You know, and this is
Y2K. Holy crap.
Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
It was apparently planes were going to drop out of the sky, and, you know, operating theaters were going to shut down, and a whole heap of things. So what I love about Jim Rohn's philosophy about, you know, the winds that blow on everybody blow the negative people to more negativity. The positive people, they can use it if they set a better sail to direct them to a safer harbor, the harbor of opportunity, of solution, of reward for effort, not ease, but just setting a better sale. So I think hopefully we've helped people set a better sale, trim a better sale, if that's the right selling analogy. I don't sail that well, but I Jim Rohn was my absolute most passionate mentor, and I was really fortunate to have him in my life. And today, to connect with anyone who loves Jim Rohn is an easy conversation to have, because he was so good, Lee, at taking complex messages and making them so simple. If you can't get that, there's really no hope for you. You may as well just go to a funeral home and wait would be my message, because he just absolutely nailed it in so simplistically. It's don't wish for easier times, wish that you were better. Don't wish for more opportunities, wish for more skills to create those sort of scenarios. So, there's so many great quotes that you could get from Jim Rohn, Jim Rohn, R-O-H-N. Just Google Jim Rohn and the quotes of Jim Rohn, and you could live – you could do far worse than spend a day or so in isolation just, brainstorming all those quotes from Jim Rohn, because they are life-changing. He certainly changed my life, one of many mentors, but one of the better ones, as you have too. And, I don't say that to impress you, because we're on the podcast with you. It's really quite interesting that when we try to sort of think about who's the best leader we can get in the space that we tend to come from, both Peter and I have come from, and, we've had, some pretty iconic real estate people over the journey. And many of them are happy to come back on, but we really want to connect with you, because we know you're somebody who is not going to let the conditions make your decisions. You do have the ability, in between the stimulus of this thing called COVID-19 and your response, you're going to fill that gap with smart thinking, and you're going to do it with clear thinking. It's not about positive or negative. It's about clear thinking. And I think you're one of the clearest thinkers I know of at the moment. So it was a real gift for us. And this opportunity to hopefully spend a bit of time with your community is something that's added value to them as well. And I look forward to continuing our association long past these podcasts. I can't wait to see you and hug you, for goodness sake.
I know. We need some more people-y space. It's time for people-y things and not Zooms. I'm over Zoom, but it's all good. It's helped us get through this great unknown, because I refuse to say it's unprecedented times, because it's just so overdone. And I think to say that out loud, you have to have slow, sad piano music in the background, and we're not doing that. So thank you for coming on the show. And friends, I know y'all didn't write down how to spell his name, because I know y'all don't take notes. It's good though, because all of Rick's contact information is in the show notes for this episode. Reach out to him. He'll Facebook you and he'll email you and he'll hang out with you, because he obviously likes human contact with decent people. So if you're decent, reach out. And thank you for tuning in. If you've got a story you want to tell, you want to appear on the show, give me a shout at Lee Brown on Twitter or any of the social networks. Give me 5 stars, because I would really like to have them. Subscribe, and then we'll just look forward to seeing you next time.
If you are listening to this episode and you need to tell us something about your crazy life in or around real estate, then tweet me at Lee Brown or reach me on any of the social networks. That's if you're a broker, realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular normal human being who happens to have dealt in real estate. Subscribe for more episodes. And as always, we are thrilled that you joined us for some crazy shit in real estate. See you next time.